Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Needless to say, Austin Bechtold fulfilled his homework assignment, or at least a texter did your homework for you, which was just as good. We were wondering about, what if the Steelers and Bills wind up tied? What are the tiebreakers? What are the ramifications? Blah, blah, blah. You figured that out, or somebody did?
Yes, thank you to the texter for the assist, saying that some of the common games include Baltimore, the Jets, the Colts, and Kansas City. The Bills are 3-1 with a home game remaining against the Jets in those common games. So they'll probably be 4-1. So the Steelers are 2-1 in those common games against the Jets, Baltimore, Colts, and Kansas City. Still a game against Baltimore left on the road and Kansas City at home.
So that doesn't bode well generally, right?
Correct.
But I don't think it's going to get to that level.
That's for common games.
Yeah. Oh, I think it will get to that level.
Common games?
Yeah, because number one is head-to-head. Number two is conference record. The Bills are 6-2. The Steelers are 7-2. They could easily be tied in the AFC.
Yeah, but they have the advantage for now, and if that continues, then they won't have to go that deep into it. Who knows? What's after common games? Do we know that?
Well, and the Bills...
What we just said.
No, isn't there... let's say that's tied. Let's say they end up with the same record.
Strength of schedule fluctuates.
No. It's margin of victory. Strength of victory in the common game.
Well, that's not good either.
No, the Bills blow teams out.
Is it strength of victory overall? Oh, for God's sakes, now I'm getting confused on this, Bob. Do you want me to bring up the Browns game and how that's going to have ramifications still, or no? You're past that?
I'm past that.
All right.
I don't want to live in the past. You know, we're moving forward. We can live in the past if the past determines the future. Okay. If it comes back to bite you, then you could look back and say, uh-oh, but I can do the same for some of these other games.
Wait a second. I just noticed something in the standings before we move on to Pickens and Porter. The Bengals are only -5 point differential for the whole year. They're 4-8. Has any 4-8 team ever been only -5 in point differential limits?
Especially scoring at the rate they're scoring.
Yeah, I can't imagine. How about Buffalo plus 131 in point differential. Yes. By far the best in the AFC.
You don't want to be in a strength of victory battle with them.
No.
But I honestly believe in a given week with them, the Steelers would have a very legitimate shot to win that game or any game.
They're not number one in the NFL, though, in point differential. The Detroit Lions, Bob, are plus 180. Yeah.
Those two teams play.
They play in a couple of weeks. That's going to be. But Detroit has a lot of injuries in their secondary.
Bob, is there a better in-game spectacle? I'm talking television spectacle, raw entertainment right now than a snow game in Buffalo with Josh Allen playing quarterback. I say not. Not in all of sports is there a better spectacle to watch than that.
I agree.
It's phenomenal.
I even thought last week in Cleveland with the flurries
that
flying,
too,
it was impossible to see the ball, it looked like. And
everybody's going to go to domes. What are we doing to ourselves?
Was that a home field advantage, if there ever was one? San Francisco was not ready for that. It looked like they were totally disturbed by playing in those conditions, could not understand how to run in it.
Right. Limits, can you think of a better in-game spectacle in all of sports, college or pro, than what we saw last night?
Than a snow game?
Than that specifically in Buffalo. It looked like a Madden game with the light snow on the field and the uniforms popping.
Oh, and Bills
Josh
fans.
Josh Allen popping. Bills fans throwing snowballs.
People were throwing snowballs at the field goal kicks, too.
It's unbelievable there. You can't take your eyes off it, Bob.
And 65% of their stands are going to be covered in their new stadium that they've used in a couple of years.
I'm just sick over that. I'm sick over the fact that when we brought up the topic here. Now, to everybody's credit, the vast majority said they don't want a dome here. I mean, Bob.
Oh, I love the outdoors.
And Cleveland's going to go to a dome in the suburbs. There's going to come a point where I'm just going to get sick of this and not watch.
A lot of it is geared toward extra money you can make with these events. And
how many events are going to Buffalo because they have a dome?
Listen, the way there are so many entertainment events going on these days.
I want games in the snow.
I do too, but it's become money. You know, money's everything. The NFL is about money, everything. They tell you about player safety, yet they'll schedule a team to play three games in 10 days.
Yeah, exactly. If Green Bay goes to a dome, I'm not watching football anymore.
No, they won't ever do that.
Buffalo is.
Yeah, but I don't think they will.
At least a partial dome.
Yeah.
Is it a partial dome? Is that what they say? Limits?
No, they're basing it off of what they said on the broadcast, at least, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, the soccer stadium overseas.
Yeah.
Where part of the stadium is covered, but it is still still an outdoor stadium. So I think the best way to describe it is part of maybe not the roof, but just the facility or the facade of the building kind of covers the stands, but the field is open.
Yeah, the whole thing sucks, Bob.
If you were in like a drone or if you were flying over top of the plane and you flew over the stadium, you would see that the field is not covered by
another new age. Get out of here with this. It's one of the charms of Acrisure Stadium to me. It's a patch of grass with a bunch of yellow seats. Let's play football on the field in the elements, Bob. How about that?
Yeah, and there is a lot to be said. People get up for those kind of games and they love just the snow element of it. It's fun. It's old school football. It should not be eliminated, but the way everything is going, you're going to get domes everywhere eventually. But I still don't think I don't think it'll happen here, and I don't think it'll happen in Green Bay.
Domes and two-hand touch. That's the NFL in 2050. All right, Bob. Speaking of weather, let's get to a couple lightning rods. Do you like that segue, Bob?
Yes, lightning rods.
Let's start with George.
Thunder snow.
Let's start with George Pickens. And let's break this down here. Okay? Let's break it down into three calls, first of all. This wasn't so much a lightning rod thing, although Tomlin felt the need to have a talk with Pickens after this, I think just to tell him to calm down, stay in the game type of thing. That was the pick six. That was not Pickens' fault. It was not Russell Wilson's fault. It was Taylor Britt blatantly grabbing Pickens by the helmet, blatantly grabbed him by the helmet and pushed him to the ground. The ref missed the call, flat out. You agree with
all
that?
All right, what I'm saying is it was influenced by the fact that it looked like Pickens had lost his footing. And I think that element of that play made the official think, oh, he's going down anyway. That dude's just finishing him off. And it was within the 5 yards of contact permissible. So I just think the whole thing led to a non-call. Was it the right call? No, apparently. Steratore said it should have been. Hands to the face. But whatever. I mean, if that were the other way around and Joey Porter made a pick six, do you think people would have the same reaction as they did yesterday?
I don't know, but I would. It was a blatant grabbing a guy by his helmet and tossing him to the ground. It was outrageous, and it shouldn't have counted. Do you agree, Limits?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that it should have been pass interference on the defense, not a pick six at all.
You don't think the fact that he was sort of stumbling from the get-go influenced the official? That's what I think.
It might have, but it shouldn't.
But the official still screwed up. It might have definitely influenced his call, but he missed it. He flat out missed it.
They missed a lot of calls yesterday. They missed a lot of Orlando Brown. He's doing a moonwalk backwards 5 yards after the...
So is everybody else in the league, goodness. But he gets called for it. But anyways, Pickens, number two, would be the dropping the ball on the Bengals
corner and getting called for taunting. Yeah, you can't do that. He knows that. He still does. He can't do it.
I know. You can't do it. You can't dramatically drop the ball on the guy. Like, it's such a soft, stupid rule. The taunting rule is an absolute joke. It's the biggest joke rule in football. You watch games, I see guys staring at you know, when they played for a former team, or even if they didn't, staring at sidelines where you're not supposed to do. That Cassius Marsh call that helped the Steelers beat the Bears a few years ago was one of the biggest joke calls in the history of the
Cassius
league.
Cassius Marsh.
It happens. It happens all the time. Guys are in each other's faces jawing after practically every play. But one of the things that you definitely can't do is flip the ball on a guy like that. You can't do
it. No, especially the way he did it. It was almost like that guy who's the chef and how he sprinkles salt on the meat, one of these things.
Right.
He's like throwing that ball right at him like he's just applying some salt into the wound.
Yeah, dramatically dropping
Don't
a ball.
Don't need to do that.
No, can't do it, much as I hate the rule. Okay?
No, but that's...
You agree with that, Limits? That was bad move by George?
Yeah, it's just unnecessary. And there's so many things I feel like we nitpick with George Pickens every week where it could be called. And it seemed like... I don't know if the refs targeted him. I know
listen,
we'll talk about that.
Listen, I've seen less or more not called. I've seen more not called. And I do agree with Tomlin that Well, is it a target or that officials are watching George because everybody's watching George? How the hell can we not? He's either galloping like a deer in the secondary, kicking the ball into stands, making a gun gesture, fighting a guy on a Hail Mary, or making spectacular plays. You can't take your eyes off him.
No, and you know what they need to do, all NFL teams, bring in Larry Fitzgerald for a course on how to act when you when you catch a touchdown anything else. Just give it up. There's no reason to do it unless you're trying to draw attention to yourself.
The word target, maybe, maybe not. He has a target on his back. But the word...
But he's brought that on himself at times.
Probably. But nobody can take their eyes off George. None of us can.
No, because he's a freakish athlete.
Yes. Everything he does is just unique. And that includes the referees, unfortunately for him. So that gets to number two, which is after a nice moon ball play. He makes a gesture with two fingers, seems to be shooting the gun and then pulling back. I don't know, Bob. It seemed obvious that's what it was. He said it wasn't that.
So I just tweeted this guy, Anthony Halkitis, and Josh Allen has the same. Now, you'd have to look at the context of the video, but there's a side-by-side picture of Josh Allen doing the same exact thing, although he doesn't, you know, I don't know if he's pulling a trigger or not pulling a trigger.
Yeah, how do you
define
that?
The point is, you don't, and you just, to me, that's such a, what do we...
Again, I've seen worse
not called.
But the point to me, the ultimate point here is everybody has their eyes on you all the time for many reasons. You're George. So stop doing crap after the plays. Just don't give them a reason. Don't tempt them. Don't tempt the officials. So I didn't have that big a, you know, I've seen other guys do that and not get called. I have.
Yeah.
But you're George. So stop doing it.
Well, that's what Mike Tomlin said afterwards, and he has to grow up a little bit, and that's true. And I think one of the good things about Mike Tomlin, from what I see, is how players respond to him. He's not going to just immediately sit you down and never play you for two quarters. He's going to try to work with you because he realizes what he needs from George Pickens is huge. He needs that. So you got to figure out a way to do it, and in the way he can do it, I think people respect that in that locker room.
George, celebrate like in a normal way if you could, please.
Yeah.
Like, don't drop the ball on people dramatically.
Who was the guy that at the end of a play grabbed his face mask and yanked it down earlier this season? Remember that?
Grabbed George's?
No, George grabbed somebody's. It led to a little
I know what you're talking about, Bob. Yeah. It was the loss. Who was it? The loss against?
Like, there was no need for that
just
either.
Just last week, he wound up in the stands on a Hail Mary play, Bob.
Well, that's just recognizing the situation. And the situation
like that
was
the game
important.
Is to be won or lost.
You're
on that
supposed
play?
To that bothered me more than anything I saw yesterday. You're supposed to be the tip man, the guy who's going to go up and get those balls with strong hands like he has, and you took yourself right out of the play.
Bob, it was Jordan Lewis in Dallas that he
yanked
the
Dallas,
face mask.
That's right.
Exactly.
At the end of the game.
So I think Tomlin, to his credit here, you know, sometimes he runs interference for George where it's like, what's the problem here? He didn't really do that yesterday. This was Tomlin after the game.
You know, you just got to grow up, man. It's an emotional game, man. These divisional games are big. He got a target on his back because he's George. He understands that. But he's got to grow up. He's got to grow up in a hurry.
Well, he obviously doesn't understand that. Let's hope he understands that moving forward here. But I'm glad Tomlin said he's got to grow up and grow up in a hurry. I mean, it's winning
and
time
he even
now.
Talked about that after the game, that he knows that that's uncalled
Who did?
For. George. On our postgame show, we had him on.
Oh, you had him on as a guest?
No, I mean, we took his live podium.
Okay, because the live podium did not seem to indicate a high degree of personal responsibility, Bob.
Oh, no, I don't know what high degree is. He acknowledged it.
Like any degree.
He acknowledged it.
And let's listen to George after the game. That's not the impression I got.
Couple different Pickens clips. First, here's the refs getting the first down signal wrong.
What did the officials tell you why the flag, especially the second one, or something they didn't like that they gave you?
Yeah, they said they got the gesture wrong. You know what I mean? Thought it was something else. You know, you can't hurt the team. I never intend to hurt the team, but he just thought the gesture was different.
What was the gesture?
Oh, I'm not sure. I was doing the first down. He said he thought something else.
So, you see, we said can't hurt the team. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah, amid saying that the referee got it wrong.
But he was asked what the referee said, and he said, I made a first down signal. He thought something differently.
You think he's telling the truth that he was making
I don't
a
know.
First down signal?
I looked at it.
The
it
first thing he said was, honestly, I just keep running my routes, keep playing. We've got refs out there to make certain calls for certain penalties. And he said, to be honest, it was kind of a ticky-tack game. And he also said near the end, I'll probably say the refs thinking different gestures can hurt the team. The refs thinking different gestures can hurt the team. But like I said, I never want to hurt the team and never want to get penalties. I don't know. I guess we read that one differently, Bob. To me, it would have said, I can't do that after the play.
The proof will be in his actions moving forward. And if we see that he has changed the way he's going to react to those kind of situations, then it's a lesson well learned.
I'm only out
But I'm beyond saying he's a young kid who hasn't, no.
Yeah, every
that.
Single thing that's happened with him, he doesn't seem to take responsibility and say, yes, I was wrong there.
But he did say in that answer, you can't do that. You don't want to hurt the team. He knows that, but he still does
I
it.
Never heard him say you can't do that.
Can you play that clip back? He said you can't hurt the team.
That's
Austin.
Different.
Oh, no, how is it different?
Let's hear his second quote.
What did the officials tell you why the flag, especially the second one, or something they didn't like that they gave you?
Yeah, they said they got the gesture wrong. You know what I mean? Thought it was something else. You know, you can't hurt the team. I never intend to hurt the team, but he just thought the gesture was different.
See, I never intend to hurt the team.
That's I'm not sure.
Right. And what he's saying,
he said he thought something else.
What he's saying there is I never intend to hurt the team, and I didn't hurt him today either. That was the refs.
That's your interpretation. I think
it's a pretty clear interpretation. You think he stood up there and took personal responsibility for that?
Well, I mean, if you want it 100%, I should never do that. I know I'm wrong, blah, blah, blah. If you want to get that,
how
you're
about
never
just, I can't do that after plays?
Well, he said it.
He said a million things but that. You think he said that?
I interpreted that as you can't hurt the team. And by admitting that, he hurt the team. He knew it.
I think he thinks the referees hurt the team, which is exactly what he said.
Well, you think differently than me, but that's why you're Joe Starkey, the savvy old news hound. I'm not going to look that deep into it. I hope the actions speak louder.
I am, because there's been plenty of other George Pickens incidents where he talks around it afterward and does the same damn thing again.
All right, we'll see moving forward. That's all I can say at this point. If he does it again, then it's on him, and then lesson will not have been learned.
I'm with Batko. His lead on the Pickens story, if you thought after taking two taunting penalties while flirting with an ejection, Sunday might finally be the time for George Pickens to step up and take some personal accountability, well, ..
Okay.
And then he gives the quote. I mean, I guess
see.
we heard, well, yeah, we will. What in Pickens' career gives you confidence that he'll learn from this and act differently?
Nothing, but this could be the first. I mean, at some point it has to come to a head, and by Mike Tomlin admitting afterwards that he has to grow up, I didn't expect to hear that from Tomlin yesterday. Did you?
No, I'm glad we did hear that. Like I said, he usually runs interference for George.
Right, and so he takes care of things behind the scenes, and in this case, he went out and said he has to grow up. It's not something that I expected to hear, and I think because he said it, he must have, you know, we'll see. Again, I can't do anything about what happened. All I know is that moving forward, there are going to be some big games. He's going to be central to those big games. How he reacts in those big games will tell you whether or not he's learned the lesson.
Wonder Twin, your take on this matter?
I think George Pickens knows that he's playing with fire, and he likes living on the edge, and he's just hoping that the referees don't catch on. And, you know, he knows that he's targeted, but he thinks that he can get away with it. And when he says, I know I hurt the team, my bad, but the referees also called it, I feel like Pickens thinks he should maybe get a pass for it. Like, he knows he's hurting the team, but he thinks that he's going to be able to get away with it slightly where maybe people don't see it and the refs won't punish him for it, but now he's kind of getting caught.
412-928-9370. 928-9370. I mean, the other side of this, always the side of this, is he's wildly talented and helps them win games.
Yes.
So
it's almost like, and he's not to the degree that at the end of Antonio Brown, but the same thing. Mike Tomlin, he knew he had to get a lot out of that guy. And however he dealt with it originally was working until things got way off the rails. So, and I think George Pickens really is a guy who is so talented that they got to have him in the game. They got to have him making plays. They got to do whatever they can to make him plays. Fans are fickle that way too, I know, and we all are even in this side of it. If he makes 10 catches for 180 yards and two touchdowns, whatever happens after that does not matter. Even if he does another one of those kind of calls, you'll take what you can get.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Get to a couple calls on George Pickens before we talk about Joey Porter Jr. How do you feel about that, Bob?
It's your show. I'm just part of it.
It's not my show. And that was a passive-aggressive.
No, it isn't.
That was a passive-aggressive.
It's not passive-aggressive. It's always been the Joe show. I'm just along for the ride. I told you I'm your caddy, much like golf.
It's the Pomp and Joe show with Austin City Limits Bechtold. That's the way it's known
Bechtold now.
That's the way it'll be known well into the future. I keep having people tell me they know a former principal at Baldwin named Bechtold and that's not your dad, that they think it is.
That's correct. It is not my dad, not my relative, but my dad did go to Baldwin at the time that Mr. Bechtold was the principal and sometimes acted like he was his uncle.
The last part I didn't expect. He sometimes acted like he was his uncle. Bob, do we have an impersonation situation happening here?
Oh, it could very well be.
No, he's just having fun.
Is this Frank Abagnale and Catch Me If You Can?
I love that. By the way, on Broadway, that was an unbelievable. It was terrific.
You know any other
Catch Me If You Can. Didn't Starkies? Last long, which
what
I was surprised.
What a great movie.
What a great Broadway production.
How about the guts on that guy, Bob? Pretends he's a pilot, pretends he's a doctor, anything else?
I mean, he was that smart. And there are a lot of people out there like that, which is why all this digital stuff is moving in a way that's so fast, I can't keep up with it.
It's like me pretending I'm a radio host, but I'm getting away with it. Who do we have, Limits?
Let's go to Scott and Jeanette.
Hey, Scott.
What's up, Scott?
Hey, I had a question. I don't agree with what George Pickens does. I believe I heard somebody earlier on your show make the statement, bring Larry Fitzgerald in and teach him how to play football with a little class. I believe that firmly. But my question is this. If some of the flags are throwing for taunting and unsportsmanlike conduct are being thrown, how in the hell are they allowing teams defensively that intercept a ball at the 1 yard line to run the length of the field and slide into the end zone and
take pictures?
Such
a great question.
It is a great question.
I got one for you. Jamar Chase, was it last week where he caught a touchdown pass and then skirted the goal line and waited and waited and waited and then stepped over at the last second?
That's taunting.
That was the very definition of taunting.
That's where you hope the ball will somehow get out of his hand, fumble, and someone will recover.
Who did they play? What game am I thinking of there, Bob?
Chargers? Or no?
I think it was the Chargers.
But whatever.
That's the very definition.
What taunting is. It's like looking back and holding the football up in somebody's face who's 10 yards behind you.
He did actually hold the ball. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And this guy makes a great point. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it's an excellent point. You get that from the people of Jeanette. They make great points when they call.
It's the worst rule in all of football. You know, they say you're not allowed to get up and you know, jaw in somebody's face, and apparently there's magical words you can use. This is football. I would encourage anybody out there to take a game and just watch for that over the course of a game after every play, what happens. You see guys stare at the sidelines at their former coaches all the time. And I still think about that Cassius Marsh play, if you want to call it that, and what a joke that call was. But I don't know, Bob. Do we really need Larry Fitzgerald to give out lessons here?
Well, I always admired that about Larry. And I've told him, he said, you just got to keep playing the game.
I know, who is Larry Fitzgerald? I mean, who is like Larry Fitzgerald is what I mean by that. Is there anybody
Am I wrong in thinking that Terry McLaurin's like that a little bit? I've never seen him do anything. He catches a lot of touchdown passes for Washington.
I think it's sort of unrealistic to expect a guy to act like Larry Fitzgerald. I want Pickens to play with exuberance. I want him to be himself. I think you can slightly curtail your post-catch behavior,
and you'll
be fine.
Isn't that what's supposed to be like when you score a touchdown? They've allowed you to show sport to personality.
Yeah,
they've allowed that. That's where you do it. When you do it after a 15-yard catch, why
doesn't everybody in the league do it after? Or when they get a first down, they get up and point first down and everything else. I mean, I'd like the game to be like it was, played in. Well, even then, I was going to say the 70s or 80s, but guys celebrated then too, Bob.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
I think it's fun. Do you have a problem when
no,
guys?
I liked when they decided to let guys express themselves after the thing about defense. I don't like that. That could be a delay of the game also if you take it too far. Like the guy said, the caller from Jeanette, if you make an interception at the 5 yard line, you run all the way to the other where the camera is. Okay, it's taking too much time. I don't know.
I know.
But everybody's
doing it. Sometimes those are ridiculous when you're losing in a game and stuff like that. And you want to do the group photo and all that.
Well, see, that's...
I think it's a minor alteration.
That's a bad look for anyone who does it. When you're getting clobbered and you score and then you do something like that. Not that he would, I think, in those situations, but...
It's like, is it something to practice? Like, can we get the last 5 minutes of practice? Everybody help George with his celebrations. Like, don't drop. Here's things you don't do. Don't stand over a guy and stare down. I'm not saying he's done all these things, but don't stand over a guy and stare down at him. That's taunting. Don't throw or drop the football on a guy. That's taunting. Okay. Don't come anywhere close to anybody even having a hint of an idea that you might have just shot a gun, because they're very vigilant, whether we believe that that's right or wrong of the league to go overboard on that. They're very vigilant about it right now. So don't do it or anything close to it. Don't punt the ball into the stands. Actually, I don't care about that one. That's just a fine on you.
He's going to get fined. That's what his choice was there.
So how about a do's and don'ts for George's celebrations? Take 5 minutes out of practice and maybe save your season to keep him from doing that in one of these huge upcoming games, Bob. The do's and don'ts for George.
All right.
Do you like that?
I think it would take a lot of time and effort because there's always something that you can do that would make an official thing.
How about giving three no-nos for after plays? Don't stand over a guy?
Standing over a guy. Who got called for that recently? It wasn't George Pickens. It was somebody else.
Are you talking about the Penn State-Ohio State game?
Yes. That was a good call based on the guy from Penn State did it, right?
Yes. It happens all the time in games.
I mean, he just stood up. But he shouldn't have done it.
But I see it all the time not get called to.
Right.
But he's George. All right. That was Tomlin's point is you're George. So how about this, Bob? Take 10 seconds at the end of practice and say, here's three things not to do. Don't stand over a guy. Don't drop a ball on him. And don't shoot a gun. Okay? Now, if you can invent something other than that.
Don't go to your throat either with one of those things.
Or your throat. Yeah. Okay, that's four. Seriously.
I know.
That's four. Don't do those things. Do what Najee does. Make a first down gesture. That's always nice.
Yeah.
Do something like that. There's four don'ts.
I can't believe we're spending a lot of time on whether or not we should, what you should and shouldn't do when you make a catch.
I know, but it could cost them a division.
Well, I mean, that.
That's the best advice of all.
What are you doing?
And that was Pickens earlier this season. It does get tiresome, even though I've seen more than what he did not called. Like Tomlin said, he's
Do you
George.
Remember when they called twerking?
Yes.
On Antonio Brown in the end zone?
Yes.
Not a lot of twerk.
All right, that's number five.
Don't twerk.
Don't stand over a guy. Don't throw the ball at him. No guns, no knives, no twerking. How about that? No slashing gesture, no shooting gesture.
How about Joe Horn bringing out a Sharpie and signing, you know.
Can he bring out a phone? Can we get George a phone?
Yeah, we'll deal with that when it comes up.
That would be good. Pull out the phone and call somebody.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I mean, if he can avoid those five things, slashing, what could be interpreted as a shooting motion, dropping the ball on somebody, standing over them, and what was the last one, Bob? I forget now. If he can come up with something outside
twerking.
Of twerking, outside of those five.
I don't think he's a twerker, though. He doesn't look like a twerker to me.
And be creative enough to get a taunting foul outside
have
of those five.
Twerked?
You give him credit.
Have you ever done
I've never twerked.
You ever try? It's good for your golf game, actually.
No, did you?
Yeah, you can get your golf game and improve your hip action and rotation by twerking.
Have you twerked?
No, I can't say that I have.
When and where did you twerk,
It's
Bob?
Just good for your back.
It is?
Yeah.
Seems like it would be bad for your back.
No. It gets moving the lower back muscles and, yeah, you should try it.
When's the last time you twerked?
I don't know.
Are you twerking in a TikTok video anywhere?
No, won't do that.
Next.
Let's go to Joe in the car.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays.
Hey, Joe.
Go ahead.
Hey, Bob.
Hello.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, all right.
Sorry, we're
yeah, I mean, I agree
foolish.
With the George Pickens thing. I mean, it's like... You watch through the years of guys celebrating after, and then there's a point where, like, are you celebrating for you or the taunting is so up in the air? It's like when I watched two times during the game Broderick come up to him and try to have a conversation with him because they're former teammates, or even Cam in the last 10 seconds of the game in his ear on the sidelines.
When Broderick Jones is coming up to you as the voice of reason, you're probably out of bounds.
Right. Like, so, I mean, you have people in your ear during the game trying to just curb the enthusiasm, so to speak. Like, we love the emotion. You can't get over watching the guy. But then, you know, after the play's over, you just have to be smart. I mean, you almost got thrown out for taunting.
Well, let me ask
you
this.
The player altogether.
What's your first name again?
Joe Capone.
How could I forget that?
Joe Capone. Any relation to Al?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Down deep in that. Yeah. Those Italians were all related somehow. I may be related to you, Joe.
Possibly, right?
Joe, would you back this approach with Pickens? This was Todd with the afternoon show earlier this year. I forget whether Pickens had quit in a game at that point, wasn't running routes, was pulling somebody's face. I forget what was happening. But this man, Todd, couldn't understand why the leadership core in the locker room didn't approach him. So I'm wondering if you would advocate for this move. Do you like that advice? Joe,
exactly.
Are you on board with that?
There are certain, and I guarantee you it happens. Like, what happens in a locker room happens in a locker room, and what's presented on the field is totally different. And so I mean, behind the scenes, we're not supposed to know what goes on in there and their conversations they're having or what, you know, who as a veteran. I think in the actual position room for wide receivers, we are lacking a veteran that really has been there that can show you the Steeler way, the Hineses or the Yanceys, or, I mean, it doesn't matter how far you want to go back. Just somebody in the room when the young guy comes in to go, hey, man, this is what it takes.
To go, hey,
calm down. We need
what are you
doing? You're a bigger part of a puzzle.
I got to believe that those conversations are held a lot. I mean, they know what's going on. I mean, you know, again, all of that stuff is kind of nuisance nonsense. I was more, of all the things that have happened, the way that he was taken out or he took out Newsom in that Cleveland game was, you know, not that that play has a good percentage chance of working on a Hail Mary, but he's supposed to be in a much different position on that play. And he got engaged somehow, some way there that it took him right out of the play.
So. All right, Bob, we each get 1 minute on Joey Porter Jr. Your thoughts, Tomlin. Tomlin basically said, you know, we're not going to get, I think the word he used was gooned by T. Higgins. You have to be physical. I got the impression that Tomlin didn't have a huge problem with this, that he felt maybe that the game was called tightly. Your thoughts on Porter's day and Porter's season?
Well, overall, I think he's had a very good season. I think the success rate when you throw in his direction is not very high, so that's good. You know, the thing about yesterday was he's up against a guy who's a big receiver who can go up and get it just like he can. He's tall. He could take advantage of that. But he's had that rap about using too many hands and getting involved. He's always there in coverage with somebody. The one in the end zone, that was his two penalties and one play call. I think he just kind of lost perspective of what was going on and ended up thinking that play he had to tackle the guy because he was out of position.
My God, I can't even keep track
of them. That was the worst. But he's going to be on top of guys. And some crews let you get away with it more than others. Yesterday was one of those days where he wasn't. I'm not saying that he has to... he has to change that because he's going to be called now that has been called on a regular basis. The word gets out that he's using his hands a lot. So he has to technique wise change that. And I think Mike Tomlin realizes that that's something they have to work on. He wasn't going to get mad at him because he took five penalties because a lot of those were calls that sometimes are or not made. They need him to be a very good player for them. And I think largely he has been in coverage very good for them this year.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I think I'm with PFF, who gives him a horrible grade. I wouldn't go that far at all. I think with him, he's had some really good games. I thought the Ravens game might have been the best of his career.
He was terrific.
He had Zay Flowers at times in right. that game. People thought it was a bad matchup, and he proved to be a good matchup on his end. PFF has him at a 51-7, which is 101st. Out of 114.
I don't believe that at all.
Out of 114 corners.
You believe that? You believe he's that low on the totem pole? I've seen him cover guys, a lot of good guys. Was C.D. Lamb his responsibility in the Dallas game?
Might have to look remember about that and look closer
but,
at that.
But the
I think he's been up and down, though.
He has been.
And probably.
But I think the way he plays, he's going to be with you the whole time. He's not going to, and if he plays man-to-man, he's with you. And then it's just a hand-fighting situation. You have to be watchful of, no question.
I thought he was going to take a bigger step forward this year, but the biggest games are yet to be played. I think it's been wildly inconsistent. And I think once you start getting a rep for holding and being overly physical, it can be really problematic with a certain officiating crew. Having said that, neither T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase wrecked the game by any means yesterday. Burrow had a really good game. He had 300 yards, but neither one of those guys was running up and down the field like it was a track meet. You know what I mean? It's like, no. I compare it to fouling a guy in basketball. You know, all right, I'll give you that. I'm going to be physical with you. You better make your free throws. You better be able to drive the ball down the field and score. And in key moments, they couldn't. You know, Burrow turned it over three times. So I didn't mind it overall. I didn't think it was game wrecking on Porter's part, really. I didn't. I wish he would have taken a bigger step so far this year.
Okay, but I still think I'd rather have a guy who's going to be in somebody's face most of the way down the field, and I think he is that player.